bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Ryan, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Ryan. For the next 2 weeks, we will be focusing our thoughts on 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, where we will examine four elements of Paul's charge to the young pastor Timothy. Now, this information is based on an ordination sermon that I recently preached. But first, let's be encouraged by this special musical presentation, Great is Thy Faithfulness, by Judy Williams.
Fail not.
I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of 2 Timothy. And there I'd like to read from the third chapter, beginning with verse 10, and reading through chapter 4 and verse 5. But the focus of our study will come from verses 1 through 5. I am thankful for this occasion that brings us together, and that is this ordination. Now, at the same time, I think I have to say that I am getting to the point in life where my mind and my body are not always on the same page. When it comes to doing certain things, my mind, and I'm not sure if it's just trying to be positive or encouraging, or if it's just simply lying to me, but my mind says, yes, you can do this. But my body has to step in and say, no, you can't. You see, it doesn't seem like it's been all that long ago when I stood in this same place. In fact, it's been 31 years now since I was first ordained. And as the old guard grows older and passes on from the scene, God continually raises up new men to faithfully preach His Word. The ordination of a man to the work of ministry is a joyous thing, and rightly so. But at the same time, it is also a very serious thing. And it is serious for two basic reasons. First of all, those who are being set apart in this ordination process. The bottom line is that we are endeavoring to handle the Word of God. There is a sense in which we are presuming to speak on God's behalf. And so there is a phenomenal responsibility that is placed upon us to make sure that whatever we do say is reflective of the truth of God's Word. Because those who are in ministry will receive a greater or stricter judgment. Now this is also serious because of the opposition that we face from our enemy. And this opposition sometimes is spiritual, sometimes it is physical. In fact, this is something that the Apostle Paul faced quite often, and so extreme, in fact, that ultimately it cost him his life. Now, of course, he gladly gave his life because of his conviction and his love for the truth of the gospel. Now, at this time, I want us to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10, and reading through chapter 4 and verse 5. Now, the main thrust of this passage, of course, is Paul's charge to Timothy. And out of this, there are four things that I want us to note. And that is the solemnity of this charge, that is, its seriousness, its nature, its explanation, and the faithfulness in this charge. So with that in mind, read with me from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. By inspiration, the Apostle Paul records for us these words. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, what happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now this passage of Scripture is quite often used when it comes to an ordination service such as this. And one of the reasons for that is because of the nature of the charge that Paul here gives to this young pastor, Timothy. But as we approach this passage of Scripture, we have to keep in mind that Timothy here is already involved in pastoral ministry. He is not being set apart officially, as we do in an ordination service. Paul's charge here seems to be more along the lines of perhaps getting Timothy back on task. You see, part of the context of this charge goes back to the very beginning. In chapter 1, Paul reminds Timothy of his spiritual heritage. He speaks of the faith that dwelt in his grandmother, his mother, and Paul says, I am convinced dwells in you also. He points to the spiritual gifts that this pastor has received, and he encourages him to use them. And so as we read through this letter, it seems that Paul, although he is convinced that Timothy is a believer, but he is concerned about his level of commitment or faithfulness in executing the ministry that has been given to him, to that which he has been called and set apart. If you've done any reading about Timothy, many scholars believe that he was by nature a very timid individual, and so obviously very easily intimidated by others. But the reality is that in the course of history, this is not something that is limited to Timothy. There are many men of God who by nature are perhaps timid. That does not disqualify someone in and of itself. But it can, if an individual allows that to govern the nature of his ministry. So Paul does not seem to be satisfied that Timothy is operating at a level that is conducive for faithful and effective ministry. So he encourages him. He charges him. And so we use this as a platform to encourage and instruct young men, or perhaps older men, but who are entering into the ministry later in life, to recognize the nature of this charge for their own ministries. To listen carefully what is being said. Because this is something that is true for every man of God that the Lord Himself calls into ministry. So with those thoughts, we come to our first major point, and that is the solemnity of Paul's charge to Timothy. That is, its seriousness. And this is seen in verse 1. Here the Apostle Paul writes, I charge you therefore, and the term therefore picks up the thoughts that we just read a moment ago, that picks up Paul's primary emphasis on the Scriptures, the power and the nature of Scriptures, their function, and how that relates to the man of God being complete or thoroughly equipped for every good work. And of course, a large part of that deals with the faithful execution of ministry. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Now, for the sake of time, and we are conscious of time in a setting such as this, because there's not only the sermon that relates to the charge to the candidate, which this involves, but there's also a charge to the church as well, or at least in our particular tradition and fellowship of churches. So while there's a lot to say here, just simply for the sake of time, we're not going to be able to say everything that should be said, and perhaps maybe even needs to be said, but we're going to touch largely upon the high points. Now, in this charge, the seriousness is seen initially in the phrase, before God. Paul makes this charge to Timothy, but he emphasizes that this is in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this phrase, before God, seems to me to pick up the idea of God's divine omnipresence, that God is everywhere at once in the fullness and completeness of His being. And so this reminds us, as I once read, that this means that we are living out our life in the presence of an audience of one. We live our life in the presence or before the presence of God. There is nothing that we can do that will escape His attention. So on the one hand, that brings great comfort to know that regardless of what we face in life, the difficulties, the challenges, especially as it relates to ministry, God knows. Not only is God omnipresent, but He is also omniscient, that is, all-knowing, and He is omnipotent, all-powerful. But in those moments that our ministry is in public on display, or in those moments of darkness when there is no one else around but us and God, God is there. So again, it is a comforting thing, but then it can also be a very frightening thing to know that God is there in those moments of our weaknesses, those moments of our failures, those moments of our fears, when we give in to temptation, when we give over to fear, when we utterly fail in what God has called us to do. So one of the most fundamental things that any minister needs to grasp is the fact that there is nothing about our ministry that God does not know. It is played out before His presence. Now, to bolster the seriousness of this charge, he also speaks of the fact that this is before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he immediately adds, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Now, the emphasis here does not seem to be so much upon the impending judgment at the end times, although it does embrace that in a general sense, but it focuses on God who will judge now as well as the end times. And perhaps the difference here is on the fact that redemptively, believers have already been judged in Christ, and we are found no longer guilty. We have been declared righteous by the awesome work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and by the Holy Spirit applying that to us, bringing us into a vital relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the means of the new birth and faith in Christ. And so as a result, we are justified. Our sins are forgiven. But yet God does judge us, and we will be judged for our works. not our salvation, but our faithfulness or the lack of it as we stand before the Lord. Now, unfortunately, when it comes to ministry, there are a lot of examples out there today that clearly demonstrate that there are a lot of people who are, quote, called preachers or pastors or teachers or whatever terminology. And you can tell by the nature of their ministry, by the contents of their ministry, by the way that they parade around, that they are not serious about what they're doing as it relates to the glory of God. Now, I don't want to presume upon what's in their heart, but when it comes to their outward expressions, their, quote, fruit, their actions, there is so much that is just an absolute mockery that Bible-believing Christians should find offensive. It's quite often that the content of their so-called preaching or teaching is not the Word of God. It's based upon modern psychology. It's based upon principles or concepts related to self-help. It's based upon counseling principles that are not biblical. A lot of it is entertainment-oriented. And so these men and women, I would count as false teachers. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They do not care about the sheep. They do not care about what they say. As long as they think that it will help them in some way of becoming popular or perhaps wealthy. But to them, this whole thing of ministry is not a serious thing. But for any man of God, it is, and we should perceive it as a serious thing. Now, the second thing I want us to note is the nature of Paul's charge to Timothy. And this is found in verse 2. Preach the word. In fact, if you go back to verse 1, I charge you therefore, and then we could go straight to verse 2 where it says, preach the word. This is the essence of the charge. The charge is given before God and before Christ, but the charge in and of itself is to preach the word. Now, there are two things that I want us to note here, but first, I want us to look at this concept of charge. The term charge comes from a root term from which we get the idea of witness or to testify. But it is to witness or to testify thoroughly. Now, the root term is martyr. Now, a martyr is someone who suffers or who dies for their faith. But more to the point, for testifying or living out or being an example of their faith. So when you look at this term in its totality, it means to affirm solemnly, to testify, to warn, to witness. And because of its grammatical structure, it emphasizes a witnessing that is done with a high level of self-involvement, that is, with strong personal interest motivating it. So what this means is that this thing of what Paul is telling Timothy to do is vital to the Apostle Paul himself. And of course, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul and his ministry, his teachings and his persecutions and sufferings, then you know that maintaining and adequately proclaiming the gospel was his life passion. And he suffered for it. But the result is that he never watered down his message to make things easier for himself. He never viewed ministry just simply as a way of making a living. It was not just, quote, a job. It was something of a necessity that was placed upon him. When Christ opened his eyes, when he understood for the first time his own sinfulness, when he understood who Christ really was, the Messiah, when he understood the redemptive death of Christ and what that meant, and from the call of Jesus Christ himself, when he told Paul that you are a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name, that same name that he ridiculed, that same message or gospel that he laughed at and grew angry at, he now, with every sense of his being, was faithful in preaching the gospel. And so this same basic point is given to everyone whom the Lord has called, whom the church recognizes they are called upon to preach the word.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's Holy Word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.